Just felt really clearly a prophetic word coming from my old life. I'm not talking about reincarnation. My previous job, I mean. And I just, you know, in programming, you sometimes get programs that go out of their bounds, and they either maliciously or just they're broken, and they break out of where they should operate, and they become what's known as a memory leak. And when a memory leak gets loose, it just starts to fill up all the space in the computer's brain, as it were. It just starts to leak. And sometimes the operating system, the thing that runs the computer, can bring it back into line and can kind of pull it back together and can hold the thing and bring it back to how it should be done. But sometimes it can't. And the only thing that fixes it is a hard reset. And you do it on your phone, even on your iPhone, I have to admit. That sometimes you just got to hard reset the thing. You've just got to take it back. And what a hard reset does is it takes it back to the original program's instructions. It pulls everything back into line. There's no escape. And I just feel like God would say that for some of you, this weekend is going to be like that hard reset. And I think it's to do with this thing that I read at the beginning. It's about the voices that have been spoken over you. I won't read it all again, but just a little bit. It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man, to the woman who is actually in the arena, who at best knows the end of triumph, of high achievement, who at worst, if she fails, at least fails while daring greatly. And I just feel like there's a number here. You've got a memory leak. You've had a memory leak, and it's the voice of the critics of the past that have spoken over you, sometimes from years ago, and they're like this memory leak. They're consuming headspace. And the Lord, I feel, is going to come this weekend and just going to hit the hard reset button. And things that you've been battling with actually are going to just get hard reset, and He's going to, as it were, wipe it out and go back to what He programmed. And we just say, right now, God, will you break that memory leak syndrome, God? Will you break the voices from the past, the critics that have just criticized from the sidelines? And we recognize, God, sometimes we need critics. Sometimes they help bring us into fresh direction. But sometimes the criticism is so toxic and so damaging, it literally just consumes headspace and stops us from going further into the arena, from being who you've made us to be. And I feel like God would just come right now and come move into your minds and just say, that area of thinking is going to change this weekend. It's going to be renewed, that area that you've battled over. We just prophesy now hard resets right across the room. The voice of the critic to be silenced. The voice that has dominated your thinking, that's taken up the space that should have been filled with the truth of God. We just say right now, Lord, let the hard reset of heaven come. Let the hard reset of heaven come and remove those voices and the power over our lives, Lord. We say, come, Holy Spirit. Right now, and we pray for an accelerated growth now, for the truth to go into those areas that it couldn't go into before. This is for a number of you. Becky Ross, God is on you right now in this. There's a hard reset. Johanna, God is on you. Matt Buttery, God is on you for this, to silence the voice of the critic. Thank you, Father. Mel Cox, God is on you for this weekend. Mickey, God is on you for this. Kirsty, God is on you for this. Thank you, God. Leif, God is on you this weekend for this, the hard reset to silence the voice of the critic. Come, Lord God, we pray right across the room. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We pray, God, for an accelerated growth of this, off the back of this, as you come and return us to the original words that you have spoken over us, the truth of who we are. Whoa, Sarah Oliver, God is on you for this, some breakthrough this weekend. Freedom. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Do it, Lord.
Just as we've been worshiping, I've been reminded of Jacob while he was sojourning in the desert. It says that he came to a place and he was left alone, and a man began to wrestle with Jacob. And I felt God to say there have been numbers of you who've been living in the place of isolation and loneliness in this season. And you've begun to wrestle, and you've begun to fight, and you've begun to wrestle with God, as it were, over circumstances, over moments that have not come to pass the way you expected it to come to pass. Wrestling over breakthroughs that haven't come through as quickly as you thought they would come through. Wrestling over breakthroughs for healing and finance and in the job front and different areas of your life and in your leadership gift, breakthroughs that haven't quite come and you've been wrestling and wrestling. And as I've read this text, I've always thought it was Jacob that was wrestling with God. But the truth is that it says this man, which is a picture of God really, was wrestling with Jacob. He initiated the wrestle. And at the end of the story, Jacob holds on to this man and says, I will not let you go until you bless me. And I feel like God would want to say to many of you, I've initiated this wrestle. And some of you find yourself in a painful, isolated place and you're going, I know God is good and there must be breakthrough and you can't quite see it yet. But God would say, I'm bringing you to a place where you would hold on to me and not let go until I bless you. And this weekend is about that moment. It's about an invitation where you felt like you've been wrestling, where you felt like you've been working hard. Actually, God's allowed some things to happen. God's initiated some of the wrestling because He wants you to hold on to Him. And there's an invitation this weekend, like Jacob saying, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. I'm not going to let go until destiny breaks open. I'm not going to let go until healing comes. I'm not going to let go until the breakthrough comes. And I just feel right now the Father is inviting you to say, I'm not going to let go. The Father right now is inviting you to hold on and say, I'm going to wrestle with all of my might until you bless me. Until you bless me. Until you bless me. So right now, where you're standing, why don't you lift up your hands and just say, God, I'm not leaving this weekend until you bless me. I'm not letting go, even in the season of isolation, even in the season of wrestling, because I know this wrestling is for my good and for your glory. This wrestling, this pain, this momentary suffering is for my good and for your glory. So I'm not letting go. Why don't you call out to Him right now and say, I'm not letting go. Just begin to say, God, I want my destiny. I want the moment where you blessed Jacob and changed his identity from being a deceiver to being the very Prince of God. Right now, God's doing that. Some of you, your names, the thing that you've been accused of, the critics they've spoken against, it's going to be changed for your good. So where you are right now, just begin to lift up your voice. He wants to hear your voice. He wants to hear you say, bless me. Like Jabez, pray that prayer. Bless me indeed, oh God. I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go until you bless me. There's an invitation to extravagant blessing this weekend. There's an invitation to extravagant, glorious, overcoming breakthroughs this weekend. Hold on, because He wants to bless you. He's initiated this wrestling, and He's going to bless you.
Thank you, God. We receive your blessing, God. Receive all that you want to do this weekend. We open our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Grab your seats, guys. Whew. Good. Good. That's good. Well, we've got a very special guest speaker tomorrow, a man called Adam Bright. And Adam is from South Africa, from America. I'll let him explain. And I just wanted to give an opportunity for you to get to know him, because you're going to want to get some time to talk with him as well. And I wanted you to get to know him as soon as possible so that you can catch up with him in breaks, etc. I don't know him very well, but Julian knows him very well. So Julian's going to come up and just interview Adam very briefly. Why don't we welcome these guys up, shall we?
Great. I've had the joy of meeting Adam last year in July at a week away in Durban, and I met this guy with a funny sounding South African cross American accent, and he has quickly become a good friend and just a real inspiration. Adam is an elder at a local church called The Rock in Durban, as well as being a strategic interventionist. And I'm going to start off right there. So, Adam, do you want to tell us what a strategic interventionist is, please?
What is it? basically, I struggle with this, you know. Basically, we, in essence, started out like this. Long time ago, I was born. And it's in essence, we deal with businesses. It started out in business, but we moved into family dynamics, into marriages, into children, into any kind of crisis situation where you're stuck, you feel like you need a breakthrough, you don't know how to get the breakthrough, anything like that, whether it be your dreams and you can't get the breakthrough in that, faith dynamics, all those elements, anywhere you're stuck, you feel like you're stuck, or there's a crisis element, you don't know how to get through that crisis moment. I guess I'm one of the guys you call to help get you through that crisis moment. It's not years and years and years of counseling, it's literally most of the time one conversation, we get the breakthrough and off you go kind of thing. So strategic, and we intervene quickly and get you moving. That's the kind of the concept.
Fantastic. Can you tell us a little bit about your family and something of your journey in terms of how you got to South Africa?
Yeah. I'm married to my wife, Vanessa. She's back in South Africa with our three boys at the moment. We have three guys. Keenan, who's 8, Jaden, who's 5, and Aaron, who's 8 months. So that's why Vanessa's not here. It's a little guy back at home. 16 years ago, I met Vanessa when I was in South Africa. Went there for just a couple months. Had an offer to go back and work in a church. I did that. After 3 months of being there, I met Vanessa. We got married 10 months later. A year after that, we went back to the U.S. and spent a number of years church planting in the U.S., and in Mexico and a bit in Brazil, and then lived a year or so in Mexico as well, got kicked out of Mexico, went back to the States, moved back to South Africa, and we have lived in South Africa now for the last 7 years, and about 6 years ago started my company called Juiced Strategies, where we started this business dynamic and then, as I said, branching into all the other stuff. So.
Can you tell us about some of the kinds of people you are working with in terms of Juiced as a company?
As a company, we work with a lot of the major corporates in South Africa. We work with the number one retailer, currently working with them on, they're trying to move into a global space, take their business global, across the world, global, and helping them with strategies around that. We're working with the number one chicken producer, so if you eat chicken in South Africa, we're working with that company. So a lot of the big corporates we work in, we work in medium-sized and small businesses, the one-person kind of business, we work with those as well. And then this last year, the door started opening. We had these random calls. The first one was a couple, funny enough, that had been divorced. They'd been divorced for a year. And they said it was their whole marriage they had was horrific and atrocious, but they actually loved each other and they wanted to be back together and wondered, could we help them do that? And so we spent three sessions with them, and they are now getting married next month. June. They get married in June. And so that kind of opened up a whole nother doors for our company to now start doing marriage interventions, family interventions, those type of things like that. And this is not necessarily in the context of the church. That's just business world, people in business, that kind of thing. So,
you have just obviously decided to come to England in a hangout year. Do you want to tell us some of the story around what God's been speaking to you?
Last year, in November, I was getting ready to go to Bethel to visit there, touch base with some guys. And before I left, I've been in business now for about, at that time, just under six years. And I was feeling a shift in my heart. Wanted to be involved in business still, but something was stirring, something more, you know. We were seeing kingdom stuff happening in business, but that wasn't enough for me. And I was getting a bit bored, quite honestly. And in that context, I had a dream on the night before I left to go to Bethel. had a dream, and the next morning when I woke up, kind of chatting through this dream with my wife, and the dream was I'd walked out on my back veranda on the back deck area of our house. And if you've ever been to Durban, you're welcome to come visit us. But all around the house, everywhere in Durban, there's just massive, lush, green trees. And in the dream, I'd walked out on the back veranda, and I'd looked around. All the trees were crushed, like a major storm had come through, windstorm, and just blew everything down. Our house was okay. We were safe. And I wasn't scared, but I was, like, heartbroken because all this beauty, there was just destruction all around. There's no more beauty left. It was just destruction. I woke up and I'm chatting with Vanessa, like, what is God trying to say? And, you know, you have pizza dreams, you know, from eating too much pizza, like many of you will probably have tonight, okay? And then you have dreams that, you know, God's saying something to you. And I knew God was trying to say something. And I was just praying that morning, like, what are you saying? What are you saying? And God dropped this into my heart. He said, Adam, he said, I want you in this next season of your life, to really begin protecting the redwoods. And what I mean by that is the spiritual giants in the land. That they need somebody to come alongside them. They can be safe, secure, no flashiness, no dropping names, but safe and secure to walk with men and women who are in the kingdom, who are about my kingdom business, but they need somebody safe to walk with. Protect the spiritual giants in the land, or we're going to see destruction. And so I took that quite seriously and went to Bethel and did some things there and came back home, and then a few months ago, I just felt God say, hey, Adam, you need to go to the UK, and some things are opening up there. Now, you know, my memory is quite short, you know, and I've forgotten all about this, protect the giants, all that kind of stuff, and the spiritual and the kingdom, and I thought, oh, business opening up, great, let's go to UK for business. And I arrive here, and I've got, like, one business meeting next week, and it's been all ministry stuff the whole time I'm here, you know, and connecting with people, and suddenly God's reminding me, remember, protect the spiritual giants. Protect the giants. So that's part of what I'm here. I'm just really just, it's an adventure. I didn't know why I came. You know, I landed and these things are opening and happening. And here I am in front of you guys. And hopefully protect some spiritual giants along the way. So,
do you want to give us a sneak preview of what you're going to be doing tomorrow with us, please?
Cool. If there was a formula for your destiny, wouldn't you want to know it? Yeah, there's not one. Too bad. But there actually is. There is I can do the marketing thing. You know, the formula for your destiny, and in some ways there is. There's a formula for your destiny, for living in your purpose, for living in your dreams. If there's a formula for your happiness and fulfillment, tomorrow that's what I'm going to be sharing on. What is that formula? How does it come about? How do we use it? How do we leverage it to open up doors for ourselves and to open up. Particularly open up the lives of others so that they may walk in their destiny. And so we're going to look at that tomorrow. Okay.
Come expecting. We're going to have some fun tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Very good. So fun. It was amazing. Adam was coming, and then Julian said, he's coming. He's not got anything to do. He just feels like God said to come. I was like, we'll have him. So it's fantastic, Adam. Thank you so much for coming, being with us this weekend. And guys, you're already going to have a queue in the break, so just swamp this guy with your questions, and it'd be great to just suck him dry. He's called Juiced, so suck him dry this weekend from all that he's got, all that he's carrying. Well, I was going to speak tonight, but I really felt the Lord speak to him and say, Wendy is carrying something for us tonight. So I phoned her up and said, Wendy, do you want to speak tonight? She said yes. So here she is. Let's welcome her.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. Awesome. Okay. Awesome. Okay. Is this all good? Thanks, Carl. All right, guys. Well, I got a phone call 2 days ago, and as Simon said, he said, I think you're carrying something for this weekend. What do you think it is? And honestly, when I heard the answer machine message, nothing particularly sprung to mind. I'm not really sure if I'm carrying anything. But took some time just to pray and be with Jesus and felt God quickly begin to speak to me about something that I feel like he wants us to focus on as we start this weekend together. And that is to do with us growing increasingly in understanding what it means to be a family together. I felt God speak to me very clearly about us needing to learn, particularly as we've grown so much over the last little while, that it's so important and crucial for us as a church that we go deeper in our understanding and our awareness of what it means to be family together, and that when we interact and relate with each other, we are being family. And I felt particularly that it's important for us as leaders to go deeper in our sense of family together, because when we lead other people, we will replicate what we feel ourselves. Does that make sense? So if we feel like we're part of family, when we lead other people, we will help them to also feel part of family. But I know for many of us here, many of us don't know each other. We've not had conversations with each other. And I felt like God said, focus on this for just 15, 20 minutes. And I felt God say, one of the key ways that we can grow in deepening our understanding and awareness of being family together is just to take some time this evening to be thankful and to celebrate. And I felt like God said specifically to be thankful for each other and to celebrate each other, and also to be thankful for our church family and to celebrate what God is doing among us, and celebrate who we are as a church family. And as I was thinking about this and praying, I was immediately thought of Paul, the Apostle Paul, and just was aware of the fact that he was a father to so many churches. He wrote to so many churches. Obviously, loads of the letters to the churches are written by Paul. And I just started to read some of them at the start of some of those letters. And his thankfulness and celebration of those churches just oozes out of him. Let me just read you some examples. Ephesians 1:15. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. It's a provocation, isn't it? Philippians 1:3. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Colossians 1. We always pray for you and we give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and for your love for all of God's people. 1 Thessalonians 1, we always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly. 2 Thessalonians 1, dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you because your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing. Like, thanksgiving and celebration for the churches was just oozing out of the Apostle Paul. And I think what Paul teaches us is that being family together means prioritizing being thankful for each other and celebrating each other and being thankful for what God's doing us uniquely, but also what God's doing in us as a whole. And I don't know about you, but I find that quite provoking. I would just be honest with you and say my default response often is not thankfulness and celebration. Okay, I am probably more of my default is, what do I need to change to make myself better? What do other people who I am observing need to alter to tweak themselves? What does the church need to tweak to make it function better? And anyone relate to these kind of defaults? What's not quite right? What needs to change? What's not happening that's brilliant? And how could that person be better? And how could this function better? And that's often my default response. I don't think I'm alone. But Paul's default response was thanksgiving for the church, thanking God, being celebratory about the church, the people in the church, and what God was doing. And I feel like we just need to spend some time doing that. And I think the other thing is that I can also rush from one thing to another. You know, with so much going on among us as a church family in our own individual lives that we get through an event and it's amazing, but then obviously my thing is, okay, what's next? Okay, oh, God healed someone, took a lump out of someone's breast, brilliant. Okay, what's next? Oh, okay, we've got this event coming up, brilliant. What's next? Do you guys resonate? And we kind of miss the opportunity to be like, wow, God, that's amazing. Look what you've done in our church family. Look what you've done in that individual's lives. Look how you've transformed that person. And I just feel like God's wanting to provoke us to grow, I guess, in celebrating and thanking him for who we've got among us, but also what God's doing in and through us. I think when I think about families, I think, you know, they prioritize being thankful for each other. And I think when I think about families, there's the thanksgiving and celebration of the individuals and how they're unique and they've got different qualities, different giftings, different hearts, different quirks. And there's a celebration of the uniqueness of people in family. And then there's a celebration of us as a whole family and what God's doing in us and what we're standing for, what we're living for as a family and what journey we're going on together. Do you know what I mean? There's both and. There's a celebration of the individuals and there's a celebration of the journey as a whole. And so I just want to have some time now for us to take some time to be thankful and to celebrate, and we're going to do a couple of things. In a minute, I want us to spend some time together thanking God for our church family and just taking a moment to celebrate some of the stuff that God's been doing among us, some of the stuff we love about the King's Arms family, some of the stuff that we're really grateful for and we want to thank God for. So we're going to do that in a minute all together. But first of all, this might be a bit awkward for some of you. I'm going to do a little exercise that I would typically perhaps reserve for TSM, where people are a bit potentially a bit more crazy, but I just want to go for it, guys. I want us to have a go at doing something that's going to make you feel awkward, okay? It's going to make you feel awkward. It's going to be good for you, okay? I want us just to spend a few minutes in groups of three or four thanking God for each other, okay? And I want us to actually talk to each other about what we are so grateful for about each other and our unique contributions in this church family. Okay. Now, you might end up in a group where you don't know somebody. Then I would say in that instance, ask them, what is their unique contribution to this church family? And they're going to find that really awkward and difficult, but it's going to be good for them. Okay, and ask them, what is it that you bring to this church family? And then thank them for it. Okay, tell each other what your involvement is. Where are you leading? What's the stuff you're bringing in this church family or in the business world or whatever it is? What is the impact you're having? And then thank God for that person and celebrate them. And if you aren't quite sure what to do, you can tap into your prophetic gift and prophesy over them. But I just want to take some time just to thank God for each other. Is that okay? I felt like in the worship, I felt God said to me, there are some people in this room who don't feel like they should be here. I feel like God wants to, at the beginning of this weekend, say, you should be here. You should be here. Every single one of us should be here. So I just feel as well, if you're feeling like, I'm not really sure if I should be here, God just wants to say very clearly, you should be here. It's really, really good that you are here, okay? So, you guys up for this? Anyone feeling awkward?
Yeah.
Good, well done, guys. So, here we're going to do groups of three or four, and we're just going to get 2 or 3 minutes. Just, you don't have to stick someone in the middle and all go around in uniform. Just let it flow, but let's just thank God for each other, okay? Mix up the groups a bit. Let's go for it. It's a couple of minutes. Let's celebrate each other together. Listen, I'm aware that some of you didn't have enough time because you had so much to say. We've got a whole day tomorrow, so let's just make it part of our DNA to thank each other often, okay, and be grateful for each other and celebrate each other. Come and have a seat, guys, if you haven't already. Stop being rebellious. I'm kidding, by the way, guys. Listen, it's fine. So do carry on celebrating each other and thanking God for each other over the weekend. I just want to finish by us all together as a church family just chucking out some stuff that we are thankful for and that we want to celebrate about our church family. Okay, there's so much that we could celebrate about our church family, and I just want to take a moment to do that together. So Philby's going to scribe, and my lovely assistant. And I just want us to chuck out some. I'm going to start. I just want to celebrate our EP, King's Arms EP. So how amazing is that? So good, isn't it? So let's chuck out some thoughts. Jane? The people who serve in the car park. Oh, yeah, blimey. Especially in the rain. Thank you, guys. We'll have a big cheer at the end. I mean, you can go on if you want. We've got a couple of minutes. Go for it, Zoe, do I? Sorry, Joy? Okay. Brilliant. Excellent. Allows people to be who they are. Who shouted out here?
Building.
The building. Yes. Thank you, Jesus, for our building. Sharon?
Allows people to try new things.
Okay. Allows people to try new things. Keep up, Philby. Doing great. Marco? Passion for Jesus. It's all right if you don't get it all. Who else? Becky? The project. King's Arms project. Come on. Matt.
The culture of encouragement.
Culture encouragement. Come on. Anything else? Yes, Steve.
Since this time last year, we've seen 34
being baptized. That's amazing. Yeah, Dom.
Believing the best
in people. Brilliant. Jeff.
Authentic leadership.
Come on. Kirsty.
Kids
workers, yeah, come on, amazing. So have a few more.
The preaching.
Yeah, amen. Thank you, Jesus. What else? Yes, Liz.
Speak prophetic voice.
Yeah, so the prophetic in the church, wonderful. Ingrid. Worship. Welcome team. What else? Mike. All the people who come to the facilities. Yeah, fantastic. It's amazing, isn't it? What else? So a few more. Steph. Creativity. This is going to be explained at some point. Isn't it amazing? Above your heads. Amazing.
TSM.
Go for it. The atmosphere. Come on. Couple more. Jake. Say again.
On a mission.
What else? One more. Lisa.
Holy Spirit led.
Isn't that amazing? Guys, we could carry on because there is so much stuff, isn't there, that God has done in us and through us. So good to be thankful and to celebrate. Why don't we just stand together?